morning, everybody, here in Ithaca and also in Geneva and Manhattan. I'll try and keep this to about 10 minutes, so we have maybe a few minutes for questions at the end. What I would like to do is give you just a very brief overview, initially, of the size and the composition of the library budget. Talk just a minute about our library endowment, and then also in closing, and Anna's hit on some of these things, talk about some of the budget and financial issues and pressures that we're facing. Got my little pointer here for you. This is the university budget for 2005-2006. Financial plan for 2006-2007. $2.5 billion. We're a big operation. That's, if you think about it, it's about $7 million a day that the university is spending on its various campuses. I want to point out that there's a big chunk of this here that comes out of Weill Medical, which is the hospital and clinical services. That's about $500 million of the total that's included in the academic program category. I want to now drill down just to see where Cornell Library fits in here. The library makes up $54 million of that, or roughly 2% of the total university budget. And 2% is a pretty standard percentage that most ARL libraries have as a piece of their total university budget. So we're about where we should be. I've broken our $54 million out by division, if you will. The medical college is at about 11%. The contract colleges about 19%, and then the endowed, including hotel, make up the balance of about 70%. Next to each of those, I've indicated the FTE, and not surprisingly, as Ann mentioned, because salaries make up such a large part of our total budget, the FTE sort of follow in line. One thing I would point out is that if you go back 15 or 20 years, that number of FTE has remained remarkably steady, and I think that's a tribute to resourcefulness of the library profession and its support staff, because obviously we're providing a lot more services now than we were 20 years ago. Nobody had ever heard of a digital library back then. This is the Ithaca campus budget, which includes Geneva for sake of this presentation, and you'll see $48 million of that. This is where the money comes from. University appropriation is the largest part. That's an annual allocation that's inflated sometimes not every year. State appropriation makes up about 12% of that $48 million. This is how it's spent. And again, Ann pointed out that salaries, benefits, and materials make up over 85% of the total. I would point out that employee benefits here basically are endowed, because all the benefits on the contract college employees are not reflected in the Cornell University financial statements. They're actually reflected as an expense of SUNY. So the total cost of operating the library is actually a little bit higher than that, because those costs are not included. Operating expenses, of course, are everything else: all your travel, your computers, your maintenance contracts, and the like. This is the materials budget for the Ithaca campus, and again, you see the university supports the majority of that. State appropriation supports a little bit. And a lot of the college and department revenue come from the statutory colleges. That's where particularly human ecology, I believe, its contribution to man is in the form of collections, whereas man, ag and life sciences picks up the bulk of the salary for man library. Endowments and gifts make up a larger share of the materials budget than they do the general operating budget. And I'll get to that in a minute. One final drill down here is the endowed budget, which includes hotel, a heavy dependence on the university appropriation. All of our sort of initiatives, new initiatives, have been covered out of these two pieces of the pie here, designated or unrestricted types of activities, such as copy center revenue, interlibrary loan activity, the public printer operation, those kinds of things provide us some revenue to do discretionary activities or new endeavors. This again is just the endowed expenditure piece with the same three major components as we saw with the Ithaca campus. This is a snapshot of the university library endowment at June 30, 2006. It's a very healthy $106 million. If you throw out the big three, sort of Harvard, Yale, Princeton, we're sort of right at the top of the next group that includes schools like Columbia, Penn, Duke, Northwestern. So we're fortunate to have a very good endowment in support of our operations. And you'll see here that the split is almost equal between endowments that are restricted for materials and those that are for other uses. Other uses would include things like endowments that are restricted to a particular department or a particular library. We have a significant amount restricted for salaries, and then about half of that, at least on the endowed side, is for unrestricted purposes, which we depend very heavily on. Last year, the sort of the average payout, if you will, was a little over 4%, which yielded $4.3 million across the whole library to support operations, and we couldn't survive without it. It's a huge part of our budget. It's becoming more important, and certainly with the campaign coming up, we would hope that we would be able to increase our endowment fairly significantly. This is just a chart over time by the division. It shows the dip in the endowment back in 2003 and the steady climb since then. Hopefully, if the stock market keeps moving the way it is, we'll be up in here at the end of this year. I'm going to skip that one. Just for time. There's nothing bad on there. This is what we call the fact sheet. This is something that Sarah actually came up with as sort of a quick reference guide to pull out when people ask questions about, like, how much. It's tough to read, don't worry about it. The point is that there's a lot of detail here by individual unit library, and it's based on actual expenditures. It shows the number of staff. I just wanted to make you aware of it. It's on the staff webpage in case you want to go look at it. There's $51 million of actual expenditures last year compared to the $54 million budget. So, you typically don't spend all of your budget. You carry some monies over. So it's in the range that we would expect to see it based on the budget that we've got for 2006-2007. Okay, so what are some of the issues that are facing us? Ann covered some of these. Information technology infrastructure. I've got a chart which I'll show you next. It's a huge pressure for us, and I think, and Ann's mention is the number one concern that I have looking forward into the future as to what our what our needs are going to be and what we're going to need money to support. Materials budget always is a pressure for us. Student wages as well. And then I want to talk a little bit about our discretionary resources. This is a chart of the, this is for endowed, IT information technology budget since 2001 through the current year. And you can see that the total has gone from $1.5 million up to over $4 million, or just at $4 million. That's almost a threefold increase. And fortunate it flattened out this year a little bit, but I think as we start worrying about storing some of these digital images that we're going to be receiving from Microsoft, for example, there's a huge potential for that to continue to rise. Where we're going to have to watch that and hopefully get some help from the university with that. This is a multi-year chart of the increases that the university has provided the library for the endowed budget. This goes back to actually, 1990-91. And you can see the student wage number here has virtually been non-existent until recently. The pressure on student wages as the wage scale increases, as we try and get students to do more work for us, has made that a real pressure point for us. We have used endowment funds, and we will continue to try and get endowment funds in the campaign to help provide additional information for student wages. I am happy to report that for 2007-2008, we are getting another 2% increase. So I hope the university's gotten the message that, you know, this really is important. And as one of the largest employers of students on campus, it hits us particularly hard. Materials, you can see back in the heyday of the early 90s, late 80s, we were going at 9%. Of course, inflation was high then too. But we settled into a 5% pattern here, which is good, except it doesn't cover our needs. We get notices of cancellations through CU Live all the time. The journal costs are expected to go up 6-8% next year. Electronic or digital information is often added on top of the paper subscription. So materials continues to be a big concern. Discretionary funds, I mentioned, as the university has not provided increases basically for us to do new initiatives and take on new services, we've had to rely on our discretionary or other outside sources of income. And for this year, the year we're currently in, we've got about $1 million of endowment income that's providing the ability to carry some of these activities. We also use unrestricted gifts. That's an average. Gifts obviously, you know, move around, but over time we sort of plan on at least having unrestricted gifts of that amount. And it's about $1.5 million. We are carrying several programs that are outside of the university-supported budget, such as Alumni Affairs and Development, Communication, Archive, the Digital Media Group, that portion that is not supported by the revenues that they generated. We try and budget an amount for facilities every year. We always spend more than that. Student wages, when we had some budget cuts over the years, we had to move some of the core costs off of the general purpose budget onto our discretionary funds. And so we've got student wages and we've got some computer replacement monies on these discretionary funds. You'll notice there's a gap here. That's the bad news. The good news is that for the next fiscal year, 2007-2008, we are narrowing that gap and have plans to close it. One of the things that's helping with that is the Library Technical Services workforce planning integration that resulted in the savings or the reallocation of about 10 positions across many units, including MAN, ILR, CTS. Some of those positions that were identified to be freed up have not yet been realized. As people retire, we're recovering some of those positions. So those will help close that gap as they become available. I mentioned the difficult budget times and the lack of the university really providing us adequate increases. On top of that, again, this is for the endowed general purpose. They've hit us with multiple actual reductions over the last, that's 25 years, but if you go back from, say, the last 18 years or so, we've had reductions in 11 out of the last 18 years of one sort or another. So add that on top of the new initiatives, and you know, I think we've done a tremendous job in continuing to move forward and have the library evolve. Ann talked about many of these things, digitization, I won't say any more on that, conference travel, facilities. Let me just touch briefly on facilities. We talked about MAN, staff move in June, the books move in July and August, and we're supposed to be open in start of the semester, which will be a wonderful thing, and I can't wait to see it. I missed the hard hat tour the other day. Olin Tower, Ann mentioned. If all goes well, we would hope to start construction on that in 2009 sometime. So there's still a lot of planning to do. 106 is our CREO will relocate, and we hope to move those people back in next month, at least the first phase, and then we will tackle the classroom. That's going to open up daylight into that Croc corridor, which will be a wonderful thing, I think. The annex out in the apple orchard, we've ordered or about to order the shelving and map cases for the third next to last module, and that will be completely outfitted. That will leave us with one vacant module to go. Song of the Vowels, if you've been by Olin, you've seen the flurry of activity out there, and I'll have a sketch of that in a minute. Olin Staff Lounge Kitchen, a couple years ago we redid the seating area. We're now going to tackle the kitchen. We've got microwaves that I'm surprised still work. We've got old refrigerators. The floor is a mess, so we're going to go ahead and renovate that a little bit. And then Milstein Hall is moving forward. The library, the Fine Arts Library, will not move into that initially. It will have a connection to that building. But then the plan is, at some point down the road, phase two, when more money can be raised, presumably, the library would move into Milstein Hall. This is a sketch of what the plaza will look like. Here's the viewing stand, Olin. There's obviously the front doors to yours. And these pavers are being installed as we speak, and the benches, these stone benches, have been set. And that will be done in time for commencement, thankfully, because my job probably depended on that. I don't know. And I think that's it. Ann mentioned ARL, and that's going to change. These are just sort of the where Cornell ranks in the old traditional standings. You know, we're top 10, basically, when you average all those out. So